You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The excellent title track from their new album, Expert in a Dying Field.
Can we erase our history? Is it as easy as this? Plausible deniability, I swear I've never heard of it. And I can close the door on us, but the room still exists, and I know you're in it. Hours of phrases I've memorized, thousands of lines on the page, all of my notes in a desolate pile I haven't touched in an age. And I can
Expert in a Dying Field by The Beths. Hello to half of The Beths, Liz and John. How are you this morning?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. We're good.
We're okay.
We were just getting an off-air rundown of John's Trade Me watch list at the moment. Lots of cool gear on there.
Yeah, my favourite is this person who's currently selling their dad's collection of misappropriated test equipment that was retired from the university that no one knows what it does. The UV spectrophotometer is available for $1 reserve currently in Dunedin.
Incredible.
So head up Nested, 83 reviews.
That sounds great. I would love to know if anyone knows what a UV photospectrometer is, you can text us on 5395. We'll take any and all suggestions. Well, it's very good to have you guys in the studio. Congratulations on your brilliant new album, Expert in a Dying Field. Is it nice to have it out in the world?
Thanks. Yeah, it is nice. It wasn't out for so long.
And you guys you're one of those bands that sort of perpetually in the studio or on the road. You're kind of never not working on something. So I feel like this one, when you sort of have it sitting there, you must be sort of dying to get it out there.
Well, we didn't have to have it sitting for too long, but it's still, you know, it's still just you who has access to it for a very long time. So it was kind of nice when people first started hearing it, and then it went wide, and then it's now lots of people have heard it. So it's feeling good.
You guys are going to be playing at the Town Hall this weekend on Friday, I believe, 7th of October. That's going to be a very cool gig. Last time you played there was bloody awesome.
Yep, well, we will play there, and the album may be out, but we still have a point to prove. there are still songs that are hard to play and that we wish people will like very much.
I'm excited to see it. Last time you played at the Town Hall, you created all these paper mache birds. Have you got anything in store for us this time?
We have new birds.
New birds! Whoa. Where do the birds live?
Well, these ones have been on the road with us. They're road birds.
Road tested.
They're new to Auckland.
They are new to Auckland, aren't they? And they're very large.
Do you have a garage that you store these in? Do you have a storage locker full of paper mache birds?
They're not. These ones are paper mache. The paper mache birds lasted a whopping one show. It turns out paper mache really not built to last.
Oh, dear.
They lived and died and were beautiful, beautiful creatures. But these ones are inflatable and much more hardy.
Oh, that's cool. Where'd you get inflatable birds from? Did you have them custom made?
Great expense.
Really hard to get inflatable birds off the shelf, I'll tell you that.
I was thinking my mum and dad have been clearing out their garage. Maybe they'll be starting to stick stuff up on, you know, Trade Me.
I'll see it.
John will find it. Well, keep an eye out for a paper mache lion's head, which was when my brother was at primary school. He played Aslan in the school play, and that paper mache lion's head has sat in the garage for like 15 years now.
Yes.
Looking a bit mouldy, to be honest, so that will probably have a $1 reserve on it, I'd say. But yeah, paper mache, it's a great medium, but yeah, not built for longevity, perhaps.
Not necessarily. I wonder if it should go on Trade Me at all.
Yeah, maybe straight to the bin for that one. Mum might have beaten me to that already. What does it feel like playing these songs live? As you're saying, John, you know, you're still learning bits of it, and it's different when you record, obviously, to when you road test these things. What have been some of the sort of interesting moments or tricky bits you've discovered about trying to take Expert in a Dying Field to the people?
I think we've discovered that you only get one chance to make a first record.
Aha.
And like, this is a thing that we have been holding quite dear over the last 18 months while we've been making this record and then learning it and playing it and stuff, is like trying intentionally to kind of recapture that energy of making and playing a first record, but completely internally in our heads, because the situation cannot be contrived to make a first record a second time.
Yeah.
You have so long to write the songs and play them at the Whammy Bar again and again and again and perfect them and gently add more material to and gently expand what you do and really like be decisive about which direction you go in and all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. And by the time you make a third one, you kind of just get the record you're given and you have to fall back on all that work you did on the first record.
Yeah.
And we're trying to defy that by thinking ourselves into believing into being into having a opportunity to like do it again and be really intentional and you know, define what the band is. So that's been kind of our challenge for ourselves for a little
while. It's scary though, right? Because instead of having an album, like the first record comes out and you're like, cool, we've played these songs hundreds of times potentially. Now it's like it's the opposite. The album comes out and you've only played the songs live, you know, maybe once. So
that's maybe that's how you can harness it, the sort of like sheer panic of being a band playing your first gig, that energy, bringing it into it a little bit. Yeah, maybe
that that energy. It's a different energy though, because it's it's not like, hey, these people have no expectations and we're about to really lift the lid a little bit on that. Now it's like you gotta try meet them.
So how do you get back into that headspace, or sort of try and fake for yourselves that headspace of, we're making our first album, this is gonna be the sound? How do you work in that way?
I don't know. It's like, I just remember writing was different when you were kind of imagining that what you were writing for was for the gig, I think. And like, you had to kind of, what was going to work live, and we couldn't, like John says, like we couldn't actually like go and tour an entire album and then go into the studio and record it. And so it's just like a mindset thing of like trying to remember what it was like to have a song and an arrangement just kind of work and be immediate and not have to be heard a few different times to kind of like figure out what's going on with it.
Totally. And that must be doubly hard given the context of, you know, the old panini that's been going on, and live recording and playing being quite difficult to do.
I'm only going to call it a panini from now on.
I feel like it's illegal to say pandemic anymore.
I had a panini for the first time in a decade.
Which kind?
There's only one kind, isn't there? Cranberry
chicken.
Chicken
it
and
was,
brie.
I don't know if this has had cranberry in it, but it was a chicken medley of some description.
Nice.
What was it? At the Nelson Airport?
Yeah.
There you go.
I was desperate, but it was good.
Shout outs the regions. Nice.
Did they just get paninis?
Yeah, they worked it out.
They're delicious. That makes sense. It's a soft bread for toasting. Like, it's like people out here toasting like sour bread for a sandwich. It's too hard.
It is too hard. If you need a steak knife to cut a piece of bread, that is a mistake.
Exactly. Give me a cloud soft panini, lovingly toasted.
With lovely cranberry sauce in it as well. Oh, 2001. We have seen from afar your touring around the UK, around America, around Europe. What has it been like heading back overseas after a long time of not being able to even play gigs in a normal way in Aotearoa?
I mean, it's been great and satisfying and all of these good things, like you would imagine. Like, and people are, it shocked us actually on the first time we left New Zealand in February, just how like ready for concerts people were. Mm. And we, for the first 2 or 3 months of the year, we spent a long time like hearing stories about, oh, this is my first gig in so long, like first gig in 2 years, first gig in 18 months or something like that.
Mm-hmm. We still hear that from
people. Yeah, you still occasionally do. So, I mean, there was like a lot of good excitement and, people were really receptive, and I think like we learnt that we did actually kind of reach quite a lot of people over the pandemic, which was surprising. It's felt really great this time being able to play songs from the album and like be on the road while you're releasing songs and really get like, you know, because we crave immediate satisfaction and gratification for all the work that we do. So.
Don't we all?
So that's been really like necessary for our egos. But the last record, of course, Mid Panini,
right in the cranberry sauce.
We were really like trying to reach people in desperate ways of live streams and that sort of carry on.
Which at the time was just like, well, that kept us busy. But like, it wasn't until getting out on the road and people being like, thank you for doing that. That was really nice. We were like, oh, people.
Yeah.
It wasn't just numbers. Like
it mattered.
Like, yeah. And people did watch. And people did discover the music during that time. And.
Mm.
We weren't just playing to people who we hadn't seen since before the start. We were playing to a bunch of new people.
I was going
to
say, because there's also a generation of younger people who were, you know, underage at the start of the pandemic and now are of the age where you can go to gigs. And so actually they're going to their first gigs ever. Mm. And I found that really interesting, going to a show recently and being like, ah, this is your first show. That is wild. Like, you haven't had all the little test run shows. You haven't even had all the all ages spaces that, you know, we were all quite lucky to have growing up. You're going straight in and you are so ready to see these bands. It's a really special feeling, eh?
Yeah, it's really amazing to hear that from people. Just like, this is my first ever show, and you're like, you're like, you can't talk about why, because it's the panini.
Yeah. The songs on this record are really beautiful. I think it's a really interesting obviously continuation of thoughts you've been working on, Liz, as a writer, but there's some new directions you've been going into, which I've found really fascinating. Expert in a Dying Field, lyrically, is very moving. What is that track about?
So I guess it's about how over the course of like getting to know someone, over the course of like learning to love them, you are kind of like learning just a bunch of like, I guess I'll call it like trivia. Like you're learning a bunch of information about somebody and about yourself and how they do things and blah blah blah. And then you, if that relationship ends, you just have all this information and
what do you do with it?
Yeah, you just what do you do with it? And I have no answers, but that's kind of what the song is about.
Mm. I think it's really gorgeous and a nice metaphor for that as well. The videos, of course, have been excellent for this as well. Thinking of the knees deep one, how was it jumping off the Harbour Bridge? You're braver than me, I have to say.
You say that, but I don't know. I feel like if it was free, would you do it?
Yeah, actually, that's a good point.
it wasn't free for us, but it was right. You know, it was right there. It was an easy commute, and it was pretty scary doing it. And it was all hypothetical until we had to do it. I think we chose it because it was like, it's maybe one of the, it was like a cloudy day. It was maybe one of the least picturesque ones mm-hmm. that you can do. And I think we didn't want it to feel like a
tourism
a
video.
Tourism New Zealand ad. Yeah. So it does just look kind of like jumping off a Manky Bridge. And people are like, wow, I didn't even realize Auckland had a harbour bridge like Sydney. And I'm like, yeah, it's like smaller. It's very long overdue for...
When you drive over it at low tide, you can see the mud.
It's not symmetrical like the Sydney one is.
We're very attached to it, though.
We do. We love the harbour bridge.
We love our bridge.
Last song I want to have a chat about, because we're about to listen to it, is When You Know, You Know. What's this track about? This is, I think I heard you say it's your radio rock song or something like that.
Yeah, there's like this, you know, there's like a genre of music that's kind of like, I don't know, I feel like it incorporates somehow both like Teenage Dirtbag by Wheatus and Sugar Ray or something.
Yes.
But that was what we were kind of listening to production wise, but
Then also not like, also there's it's like our most kind of Americana-ish track that we've done as well, just by virtue of it having like, what, you know, those chords in that order just felt really classic,
very a little bit southern rock,
maybe
a little
bit
Taylor Swift in there if you throw that into the
a bit of Drive-By Truckers.
Yeah,
this is great. I'm enjoying hearing the Meths mood board for listening to get this track. Thank you very much, Liz and John, for coming in and chatting with us today. Very excited to see your show on Friday at the Town Hall. Tickets are still available, but, you know, don't sleep on that. Go grab them ASAP. Let's have a listen to When You Know You Know, and we'll see you at the gig. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.